before our Father in heaven. Let's pray. Father God, we just want to thank you, Lord, for this time. I just pray that you truly have your way, Father, as we know we want to live according to your words. And I pray, Father, that truly as your Holy Spirit will speak to us, we will experience the fullness of your sweet and loving presence. And Father, I know, Father, it is our desire to be here because we love you. And we know, Lord, there's no other way but your way that we choose to live for, Lord. So, Father, we just pray that this time will entirely be in your hands. I pray that we will tune into your Holy Spirit's voice and you will speak wisdom into us. You're going to give us exactly what we need to live a life that is truly victorious. So, Lord God, we place this time all in your hands. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray all these things, and everyone says, amen. Praise God. Praise God. If you take a look at your notes, you know, we're continuing the series called The Ultimate Guarantees of God. And we're on guarantee number 7 today. What is this guarantee? Well, it's the guarantee that our prayers will always be powerful and effective. Do you want your prayers to be always powerful and effective? Of course we do, right? When we pray, we expect great and mighty things, you know, from our Lord God. I got to tell you, you know, in my 30-something years of walking with the Lord, I realized something. You know what it is? You know, prayer really works. Do you know that? You know, sometimes it may seem that they don't get answered exactly the way I want it, but I know my Father God really listens to me when I pray, and I know I'm guaranteed by him that something powerful, something effective will take place in my life if I completely place my needs and my concerns into his hands. But just imagine this, a Christian life in which God answers all of your prayers powerfully and effectively all the time. And we know, right? This is what we should believe as Christians, that this is always the case. But too often, right, I will hear someone say, you know, but I don't know, it seems like God is ignoring me or God has forgotten me because it seems like I've been praying to God and nothing is happening. But, you know, the reality is that God cares for all of his children. And just like any caring parent, he wants to be involved in our lives. Amen? And he desires to bless every child abundantly who trust in him and put their faith in his son, Jesus Christ. So here's the question. It says, what must we do in order for our prayers to have the guarantee of being powerful and effective? Well, number one, it says, we must be living righteously, righteously unto God. And how well we live our lives as children of God will determine how powerful and effective our prayers will be. I want you to look at this first scripture here in James 5, 16 to 18. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is what? Powerful and effective. Look, here's a good example of the very fact that we know the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Look at the prophet Elijah. Let's read what happened here in verse 17. Ready? Go. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crop. He prayed earnestly, and what did he ask? He asked God to stop the rain, and the rain just was no more, right? It would not rain for 3.5 years, and guess what? When he felt like, okay, it's time for the rain to start again, he just prayed to God, and the heavens gave the rain, and the earth produced his crop. Who wants that kind of power in their prayer? Knowing that this is from God. You know, we just simply ask, and God provides, and just imagine, just like that. And I want you to look what it says there in 1 Peter 3:12. Read it with me. Ready? Go. For the eyes of the Lord are on the who? On the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? Let's look at the next scripture in Psalm 5, 11 to 12. Ready? Go. But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. Surely, Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as a shield. Wow. So wouldn't you want to be known as a righteous person unto God? Because it sounds like you got a lot of benefits from God when you live a life that is righteous. He says he will give you his protection and he will bless you because guess what? You belong to him. What else does it say here? He will surround you with his favor as with a shield. So you're going to be favored by God and you're going to have that full protection that you're going to need in your life, because you know the devil, he's always prowling around, he's always wanting to attack us. But you got this protection from God as a favor because the very fact you live a righteous life. Now, I don't know about you, but knowing that God has his ears, you know, especially on the prayers of the righteous, I don't know about you, I want to become more righteous unto God. But can we become more righteous though? Because what does that mean to be righteous and what does it involve? Well, let's look at that scripture in Genesis 6:9. Won't you read it with me? Ready? Go. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. So why was Noah seen as a righteous man? Well, it tells us he was blameless, you know. The fact is, probably there were no people pointing fingers at him saying, hey, you caused this problem for me. You know, you cheated on me or whatever it may be. He was blameless. Not that he was perfect, but I'm sure he lived a life where, you know, nobody was, you know, constantly accusing him of doing wrong. And he walked faithfully with God. That's what the Bible says. Look at Genesis 15:6. Read that with me. Ready? Go. And Abraham, right, believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of what? Because of his faith. Once again, it has to do with faith. He believed in God. He knew that God would not disappoint him. He knew that God would not fail him. So what did God do? God blessed his life. God saw him as one who is righteous. You know, and that's what it is. You know, when it concerns our faith in God, when you say you believe that he can do miracles, that he can do whatever, you know, you ask of him, that you ask with the right heart, with the right motive, you know God will always deliver. And when you have that kind of faith, you know God, he will not let you down. You know, while crossing the Atlantic on an ocean liner cruise ship, there was this pastor. His name is Pastor F.B. Meyer. And he was asked to address the first class passengers, you know. And so the captain told him, could you just talk to the passengers about answered prayer? So, you know, there was this atheist, right, who was present at the service. You probably kind of wonder why he was even there, right? This atheist at the service. And he you know, And this atheist was asked by his friends, so what did you think of Dr. Meyer's sermon? And he answered, I didn't believe a word of it. And that afternoon, you know, Pastor Meyer, he went on to speak to the other passengers of the ship. And many of the listeners that were in the morning address went along, right, including the atheist who claimed he just wanted to hear what this babbler had to say. So he probably was there to kind of mock him. And so before going to the service, the atheist put two oranges in his pocket, and on his way he passed this elderly woman, and this woman was probably in her late 80s, and she was sitting on her deck, in the deck, right, with on the deck chair, fast asleep, and her hands were kind of like wide open like this. And in the spirit of fun, the atheist put the two oranges in her outstretched palms, okay? And after the meeting, he saw the old lady happily eating one of the pieces of the fruit. And the guy, he kind of made the remark, you seem to be enjoying that orange a lot. And she replied, yes, sir, my father is very good to me. And the guy kind of looked at her and said, your father, surely your father can't be still alive. You know, you look like you're in your 80s, right? And she says, praise God, he is very much alive. So the atheist asked her, so what do you mean? And she explained, I'll tell you, sir, I've been seasick for days. I was asking Father God somehow to send me an orange to help me with my nausea and my vomiting. And I suppose I fell asleep while I was praying. And when I awoke, I found that he had not only sent me one orange, but two. And the atheist was speechless, right? And later, guess what happened? He converted to Christ. He came to know Jesus because he saw this as truly a miracle, right? And we got to understand, when we pray in God's will, God will always give an answer. And sometimes it's going to be above and beyond what you could ever imagine. And sometimes he does these things so that he can, you know, show himself in a way that you know he's real. You know he has power that will come through for you. So we know now, right, that having this kind of faith will make our prayers more powerful and effective. I mean, it's the kind of faith that you believe in God for everything. But is there anything else? Well, let's look at the next scripture here. Look at Psalm 15. And it tells us what we must do to be considered righteous. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent? Who may live on your holy mountain? The one whose walk is blameless, who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from their heart, whose tongue utters no slander, who does no wrong to a neighbor and casts no slur on others, who despises a vile person but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps an oath even when it hurts and does not change their mind, who lends money to the poor without interest, who does not accept a bribe against the innocent. Whoever does these things will, what does it say there? Never be shaken. Wow, this is a person who sounds like he has a lot of integrity, right? You can sense that you can trust a person like this. And it seems like he's a person who does what is right in the eyes of man. It seems like people, when they see him, they feel that he can be trusted, right? And for this kind of person, it seems like, you know, they will always have powerful and effective prayers, right? How come the next scripture, as we read it, why does it say this? Well, let's look what the next scripture says, Romans 3, 10 to 11. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. No one is righteous, not even one. No one is truly wise. No one is seeking God. So what is Paul saying here now? Wait a minute. No one is righteous. So if no one is righteous, I mean, no one's going to have powerful and effective prayers then. Well, what does it mean here? Well, first of all, you got to understand, the person who originally wrote this was King Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes. And he says, no one is righteous. This was Solomon's observation. He says, no one is righteous. No one is truly wise. No one is seeking God. But you know what Solomon meant by this? He meant that when a person sees that they are righteous only in the eyes of man, that's not enough. Because is that what we're shooting for? That everyone will look upon us as being a man of integrity, someone who is righteous. No, that's not what is important. We have to be righteous in the eyes of who? In the eyes of God. I want you to look what it says in Romans 3:25. Read it with me. Ready? Go. For God presented Jesus as a sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when what? They believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. Do you believe that Jesus sacrificed his life for you? Do you believe that he shed his blood for you? Well, guess what? You're righteous in the eyes of God. But if you really believe this, I mean, it's not just you saying, okay, I believe it. It's just like a statement that I know, you know, the leaders of the church told me to say, so I guess that makes me righteous. No. No, here's the thing. When you say this, you say it from deep within your heart and soul. You believe Jesus shed his blood for you and he died for your sins. Therefore, guess what? You're going to also die to yourself and you're going to live for Christ. So it's not about you striving to become like Jesus. It's like always like you almost have to almost like hurt yourself in order to become the person God wants you to be. It's almost like, you know, if I don't do what God wants me to do, then, oh man, I feel like I'm going to cut myself. Or, you know, I got to tell you, some people, they think like that. You know, no, it's not like that. It's when you come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your heart's desire is that you want to become like him. Amen. And guess what? When this happens, you're righteous unto God. You become the righteousness of God because of your faith in him. And guess what happens? When this happens, God will change you from the inside out. It's not like you always have to, you know, get to that point where you got to go dig so deep and you got to force yourself to become like Jesus. No, it doesn't happen like that. When you get in the Word, when you come to know Jesus as your personal friend, as your Savior, no, your heart's desire is you're going to want to change. And guess what happens when that happens? You know, you're going to have prayers that are going to be so powerful and effective because truly you are the righteousness of God. Amen? I want you to look at point number two. It says here, we must have frequent one-to-one time with God. And as Christians, right, we should never neglect our one-to-one time with the Lord, especially if you want your prayers to be powerful and effective. I mean, these are things that we must do if you really want to strengthen your faith and your relationship with God. I want you to look what it says here in Mark 1:35. Look what Jesus did. Read it with me. Ready? Go. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up. He left the house and he went off to a what? Solitary place where he prayed. And how do you think, or how early do you think very early in the morning is? I'm thinking what? Maybe like, I don't know, 4 or 5. I don't know, right? It doesn't say exactly. But, you know, you find a time where everyone is still asleep. Because guess what? When there are other people around, there's a tendency, right? You're going to get distracted. You're going to want to talk to them. And suddenly they may, you know, turn on the TV or turn on a computer and you hear all kinds of sounds. And suddenly you're not going to be focused anymore. And that's why Jesus, he found a very early time in the morning where he can just be connected with the Father. And he says, while it was still what? Dark. There was no light. So because if you want to do it like Jesus, no, wake up so early that it's still dark. There's no light yet, right? And then what did he do? He got up, he left the house, he went to a solitary place. That means there's nobody. That's what it means, solitary. Nobody's around. And what did he do? He prayed. And that's where you're going to find the very presence of God, so mighty, so powerful, because you're going to be able to hear his voice so clearly because there's no distractions. And Jesus, he also said this in Matthew 6:5-6. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on the street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself. Shut the door behind you and pray to your Father who is in, or your Father in private. And then your Father who sees everything rewards you. And so it tells us here to pray in what? Private. What does that mean? Once again, it means one to one with God. And, you know, Father God, he will see you doing this. And what will God do when he sees you wanting to have that one-to-one time with him? He's going to reward you. How is he going to reward you? Answering your prayers. And he will bless you however he wants. But he will answer your prayers because he sees that you are seeking him with all of your heart. Amen. There's this pastor. His name is Paul E. Billheimer. And he once said this in his sermon. He says, the prayer closet is the arena which produces the overcomer. You got to have a prayer closet. You don't actually have to go into a closet. You may not have a walk-in closet. You don't want to go in a closet where it's just like, you know, like so cramped in space. You're not going to be comfortable, right? But, you know, you want to find a place where it's solitary, a place where you can just have that one-to-one quality time with Father God. And then when you do this, right, you're going to experience the awesome presence of God like you've never experienced before. Because it is the very place where it's just your heart, right, with Papa God's heart. And this is a place where your heart will be connected to his heart. And you're going to just experience just his wonderful love. You're going to just experience his wonderful peace as you just spend this time with him. You know, there's this Christian author, I'm sure you heard of him. His name is John Bunyan. And he wrote this. He says, in prayer, it is better to have a heart without words than words without a heart. Let me say it again. In prayer, it is better to have a heart without words than words without a heart. What does that mean? It means that it's better, you have a heart, right, But there's no words, right? But you know you're expressing so much deep emotion. You're expressing so much love towards God. You know what? You don't have to use a lot of words. Sometimes God just wants to just experience the love that you have inside your heart that is directed towards Him. You know, there's this old Jewish tale about this poor, impoverished man who becomes lost in the woods, right? Somehow he kind of wanders off in the wood and he gets totally lost. And so when nightfall came, he found himself without his prayer book. And so, you know, he addressed this petition to God Almighty. And he says, "Dear God, I have done a stupid thing. I do not have my prayer book." Do we need to have a prayer book to pray? And it's good. If you do have a prayer book, okay. You know, you can read, but you don't have to have one in order to pray to God. So he says to God, "I have such a poor memory that I cannot recite the prayers by heart. But you know all the prayers, Lord, so I'll just recite the letters of the alphabet, and you put them together in the right way." How do you think God responded, right? And according to this tale, right, the Almighty God regarded that prayer because of why? Because of its sincerity, right? Its sincerity. More worthy than any of the others he heard that day. Because he's showing to God, "You know what? I don't know how to do this. I'm just going to give it to you. And you, Lord, will help me to pray the way you want me to pray." And it shows, right, that you're totally dependent on God. And sometimes we think that when we pray to God, we got to use a lot of fancy words, right? And thinking that we may impress others with how we pray with such just highfalutin language. I guess that's what you call it. And sometimes we think, yeah, maybe I can even impress God with the fancy words I'm using. But, you know, we got to realize that sometimes our most powerful and effective prayers are the ones that use the most simplest and the least amount of words. God wants to hear your prayers that are expressed from your heart. Amen? And when we pray straight from the heart, the Lord will know how much we love Him, how much we trust Him, as we offer our humble prayers unto Him. That's what God wants more than anything. And guess what? Even the Holy Spirit knows how powerful these kinds of prayers can be. I want you to look what it says here in Romans 8:26. I want you to read it with me. Ready? Go. "In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through what? Wordless groans." Can you imagine? The Holy Spirit of God prays for us. And what does the Holy Spirit pray for us with? Wordless. That means no words. So wordless what? Groans. Well, what does a groan sound like? Oh, is that like crying, right? It's just like a weeping. And the Holy Spirit knows there are times we feel like, oh, we're just so beaten up. We just feel like we're just at that point where we just want to give up. And the Holy Spirit is right there interceding for us. With not words, with groans. And sometimes, you know, God, he hears our groans when we are directing it towards Him. We're just saying, "Lord, I need you. Please help me. I don't know what to do. I'm at a loss." You know, and God, He hears this kind of prayer. And I have to tell you, when two or more believers who have been spending much time in the throne room of God, right, and they've been going to God with so much humility, and they just know their heart is so connected with the Father's heart, guess what happens? When they come together to pray, their prayers are taken to such a high level because both of them have been experiencing God's presence so mightily when they pray. I got to tell you, you ever experienced that when you pray with someone who really just knows the heart of the Father and loves Jesus so much? When you pray with them, it's just that one person. It's just like, wow. It's like an experience you never had, right? You just feel the presence of God. You just feel so much love, so much peace, so much joy. And then maybe there are other times you pray with someone and you just don't feel anything, right? But it doesn't matter about so much what you feel. It's God's presence that comes forth, especially when two believers come together and they just express so much love towards God. I'm telling you, it's such a wonderful, wonderful experience. I want you to look at what it says here in Matthew 18:18-19. Read it with me. Ready? Go. I tell you the truth, whatever you forbid or bound, right? Another translation says, on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit or loose on earth will be permitted in heaven. I also tell you this, if what? Two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. And you know what? Some people think, okay, we just come together and, you know, just get anybody, right? Just say, let's go ask Father God, okay? We'll ask for a nice red Corvette. And he's going to give it to us because that's what the Bible says. No, it doesn't work that way. I'm sorry. It's when two people, like I said, who really knows the heart of the Father, they've been praying so sincerely to God. They've been crying to God. And the Holy Spirit's been interceding for them with moans and groans. Guess what? When they come together, then they're not going to ask for a red Corvette, right? They're not going to ask for things that, you know, that it seems like it's just downright selfish, right? They're going to ask for things that you know God, he will answer and God will provide because they're asking with the right heart, with the right motive. And so, you know, when we can come together and pray like that, you know, it says here, you know, someone can pray that they can forbid something or bind something. Bind means to capture, to take a hold of, right? So you can pray like, in Jesus' name, I bind cancer. You know, if you know someone do it that, let's say, has cancer, you say, I bind this cancer in Jesus' name. And I pray, Lord, that you will permit healing to come upon this person's body. And permit meaning loose, right? It's going to be loose. It's not going to continue to be in the body of this person. So you bind and you loose. And it says what you bind or loose here on this planet Earth, what's going to happen? It's going to happen in heaven because it's not you that's doing it. It's Papa God in heaven that will release whatever it is, right, that you want to go and not come back. And so that's why there's great power when we can come together when two or more. Because there's great power, right? If you and God have been really connected, you know, in your prayer life, oh, this is what, you know, pleases God so much. So you're going to experience blessings from God. But when two or more that really knows the heart of the Father, I'm telling you, when they come together, you're going to see miracles taking place, you know, all the time. You're going to see how God will always work through and help you through the most difficult of situations. I want you to get point number three now. It says, never give up in praying and asking God for what you need. And if you truly want all your prayers, you know, to from God to be powerful and effective, don't give up. Because sometimes people, they just kind of throw in the towel. They pray a few times and say, you know what? Nothing's happening. I quit. You know, and they stop praying and they try to take matters into their own hands. And you never stop praying. As a believer, you know, you got a situation that you're facing right now. You know, if it seems like, man, you know, it doesn't seem like, you know, anything has really changed. You got to have the faith to say, you know what? I know God's doing something. I know his hand is moving and I trust in him. And you got to keep going to God. Keep on asking him, just like in this scripture that we're going to read in Luke 11, 9 to 10. Let's read together. Ready? Go. And so I tell you, keep on what? Asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on what? Seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks, receives, right? And everyone who seeks, finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be open. So when you ask, you know you're going to receive. And sometimes you're not going to receive exactly what you ask for. I want you to understand that because a lot of times people, you know, a lot of believers say, but if I ask of God, he's got to give me exactly what I ask of him. Who said? Because really, who knows more? You or God? And when God gives to you, he gives his very best. Because sometimes we think, oh, but what I ask for is the best for me. Well, remember, our wisdom is not infinite. Right? God's wisdom is. And so, you know what? God knows better than we do. So when you ask of him, expect the very best of the best of the best will always come forth. And you can trust that he will not disappoint you. You know, there's this Christian author. His name is William Barclay. And he says here, when we pray, you got to remember, first of all, the love of God that wants the best for us. And he says, number two, we also got to remember the wisdom of God that knows what is best for us. And number three, the power of God that can accomplish it. So he knows what is best, right, for us. He wants the best for us, and he knows what is the best for us, and he can bring it to pass. He can bring it through in your life. So you got to just look to him and trust that as you just know that God will provide, he will always give his best. You ever heard of this man named George Mueller? I'm sure you have, right? George Mueller. You know, one day, George Mueller, he's a really strong Christian. He loves God with all his heart. One day, he was looking down the streets of Bristol, England, and he saw hundreds of homeless children, and he was moved with so much concern for them that he decided that something had to be done. So he only had 2 pence in his pocket. You know how much is 2 pence? 2 cents, okay? That's all he had. But he decided, okay, with this 2 cents, I'm going to start an orphanage. And most people would say, you're crazy, man. 2 cents, what can you do with 2 cents, right? But he says, I'm going to just believe in God. And you know, in 60 years, beginning with 2 pence, George Mueller took care of 10,000 orphans. Can you imagine that? He looked out and he saw the homeless kids. He could have said, but I don't have any money. There's no way to care for them, to meet their needs, to buy the food. But instead, he looked at them and he says, therefore, I will reach out and I will help them. And, you know, and God blessed his efforts in a mighty way. And he told amazing stories of answered prayer. And he kept a record of his prayers, okay? And his prayer records filled more than 3,000 pages. Can you imagine? 3,000 pages, you know, just writing all the prayers that were answered, right? And his notes show that more than 30,000 prayers were answered. 30,000 prayers. All the prayers he'd written, he asked God, all of them were answered. 30,000 prayers were answered by God. And, you know, he tells about a time, though. There was a time in which things really looked bleak for the children of his orphanage at the Ashley Downs in England. And it was time for breakfast, and there was no food. No food at all. And this small girl, whose father was a close friend of Mueller, was visiting in the home. So Mueller just took her by the hand and said, come and see what our Father God will do. So in the dining room, long tables were set with empty plates and empty mugs. And not only was there no food in the kitchen, but there was absolutely no money in the home's account. So Mueller, what did he do? What'd you do? You pray, right? Sometimes, you know, in desperate situations, you got to go to God and you pray from deep within your heart. And he says in his prayer, Mueller prayed, dear Father, we thank thee for what thou art going to give us to eat. And, you know, he said, this is immediate. This is within like not even a minute. Immediately, he heard a knock at the door. And when they opened it, there stood the local baker. Okay. And he says, Mr. Mueller, he says, I couldn't sleep last night. Somehow I felt that you had no bread for breakfast. So I got up 2 o'clock in the morning and baked fresh bread for you. So here it is. This is a true story. This is accounts that he written down. I mean, no exaggeration. Okay. This is what happened. And Mueller thanked him and gave praise to God. And you think that's the end of it? Suddenly, he heard a second knock within minutes, right? Guess who it was? It was the milkman this time. You know what happened? His cart broke down in front of the orphanage. And he said that he would like to give the children the milk so he can empty the cart and repair it. So all the milk that he had, he said, it's all yours. You know, you can say, oh, this is just coincidence. Oh, come on now. God, he is almighty. He's all powerful. He can let whatever he wants to happen, happen. And if you have the faith to believe it, it's going to take place. And you're going to see, wow, as God just brings forth one miracle after the other in your life, you're going to realize how awesome he is, that truly his power is magnificent. Amen? That God says, I will not let you down. You call to me, I will answer you, child. I want you to look what it says here in John 9:31. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. We know that God does not listen to what? Sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Well, let's look at this first. We know that God does not listen to sinners. Are we sinners? But so does that mean God will not listen to us then? Well, it says that right there. We know that God does not listen to sinners. But we got to understand what this means is he does not listen to the sinners who have no repentance. Do we have repentance? Yes. So that's what makes all the difference in the world, that we have a repentful heart. We just don't keep on sinning because we want to please ourselves. Yeah, the very fact is we know we repented. And yes, we do sin. We are sinners in that sense. But guess what? We have a heart that wants to make it right with God. And God knows this. Amen? And he says he listens to the godly person. That's what makes you godly. It doesn't mean that you no longer have any sin in your life. No, you're probably still going to have sin. But it's not like how it once was before. You're godly. Not because you're perfect. Because there's only one that is perfect, and that is God. Right? And so, but we know that our hearts belong to him because we have a heart that wants to live a life that is holy and pure unto him. And he says, this godly person will do the will of God. And that's what makes all the difference in the world. And look what it says here in Psalm 145:18-19. Won't you read that with me? Ready? Go. The Lord is near to all who call on him. To all who call on him in what? In truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He hears their cry, and he what? Saves them. And so, you know, we call to God, we call to him in truth. Because, you know, I'm going to tell you, the devil, he's going to fill your mind with lies. And you know, God, he can take it, right? Sometimes we can go to God and we're complaining, we're grumbling. And sometimes we can say to God, God, you've forgotten me. Lord, you know, I don't think that you really know what you're doing, you know. And I hear people telling me that's what they tell God, right? They say that they just come to a point where they just lost faith in God. But you know what? When you call on him, you must call in truth. Don't call on the name of the Lord when your mind is just filled with all the lies of the devil. Because, you know, God, he loves you so much. And he's not going to ignore you. He will keep on loving you. He will keep showing you his grace. But when you go to him, call on him in truth and say, Lord, I'm hurting. Lord, I really need you. Father, I know that it's been some time that I've been going through this ordeal. And I know, Lord, it seems like in my mind, you're distant, that you're not here with me. But Lord, in truth, I know you love me. In truth, I know that you said you'll never leave me, you'll never forsake me. And when you call on him in truth, the presence of God will abound in your life. Amen? You're going to realize he's going to show himself in ways that will really touch your heart. And he says he will fulfill the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and he saves them. And you know he will come to your rescue. You just got to wait on the Lord. You just got to have faith to believe that he hears your cries. And he will show himself to be faithful and true. I want you to take a look at the bottom line verses now. I want you to look at that first scripture in Proverbs 3:5-6. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. Trust in the Lord with what? All your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. And you got to understand, this is the key. If you want to have powerful and effective prayers in your life, you got to trust in him, right? And don't lean on your own understanding. Don't you know, try to make sense of it. Don't try, you know, to explain, you know, to yourself why this isn't working out, and you try to find the answers in your own finite thinking. No. When you trust in God, you know, it may not make sense at all. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, it's okay. Because when you trust in him, you don't have to understand everything. You just simply say, Lord, I know you're going to work it out for me. You know, instead of getting all bent out of shape and kind of just thinking, oh, I wonder what's going to happen. I wonder how I'm going to handle this. You know, just say, Lord, I trust in you. And I'm just going to share this with you. I kind of want to just not think about it, but I'm just going to share this with you. You know, we're going to be moving to the new church. And you know, and I just drove there a little while ago. I was telling Jimmy about it and telling Amelia about it. And the last week we went, you know, it was like packed. And there was no parking, not even our spaces were available. And I'm thinking, well, where are we going to park? And so I talked with, you know, some of the people, you know, that are in charge of the building. And they said, oh, you know, last week there was a funeral. So, you know, it was really busy. And, you know, because there's a Catholic church behind our building. And so there was no parking. And so I think, okay, so it's going to be good, right? So I'm thinking, okay, we're not going to worry about that because, you know, just so happened that week there was a funeral. But I went today and there was no funeral. And it was all packed. I was thinking, wow, what happened? And, you know, suddenly the worry starts to come. So what are we going to do? And Brother Jimmy said, you know what? Just put it in the Lord's hand. What did you tell me, brother? He said, you know, you just got to give it to God. And you know, because sometimes we know for a fact, we prayed. We asked God to show us where he wanted us to be. And it just seemed like we knew for a fact that God, he just answered. And he directed us to this place, you know. It's right across Don Quixote. But the fact is, right, you know, at this point, we're going to think, okay, what can we do? You know, we can just kind of start to pace around and start to worry about it, you know, but what good is that going to do? You know, God, he will give us wisdom. So I'm going to ask you guys to pray, right? Pray that God will give us the wisdom to handle this and that we will find an answer, because it's really useless to kind of just let the worry just intensify. Because let me tell you, we keep thinking about it. Guess what's going to happen? It will increase, right? And the devil, he wants you to get worried. He wants you to get more anxious. But you trust in God, he will deliver. Amen? He will deliver. And we're just going to know God will provide a way for us. And look what it says here in Isaiah 55, verse 11. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. So shall my word be that goes from my mouth. It shall not return to me what? Void or empty, right? But it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. And so, you know, if it is God's leading, if God had directed you, he spoke it to you, you know that he's the one who have led you. You just got to keep trusting. And you know what? Don't think, okay, I got to find so, you know, much of a, I guess, a man thought, I guess you can say, a man-made thought of how I'm going to handle this. No, you know, it's not operating in the natural anymore. When you believe in God, it's the supernatural that will take place. Amen? And God will give you a solution that you know it's from him. Because you ever experienced that where, you know, you pray and everyone's telling you, it's impossible. You know, there's no way this can be solved. And then God gives you a miracle and you realize, yes, this was from the Lord. Amen. And I'd like to conclude with this. And you know, we talked a lot about George Miller today, you know, because a lot of times, right, we think, man, when we ask God of something, we got to get it right away or we got to get exactly how we want it. But, you know, George Miller, he was a man of great faith. And there was a time when he prayed for five of his friends who were unbelievers, right? And they didn't want to have anything to do with God. So after many months, you know, after praying, right, George Miller said, one came to the Lord. One made a decision to receive Christ. And, you know, 10 years later, two others were converted, okay? That's a long time, but you know what? He kept on praying. He was still faithful. And it took 25 years before the fourth man was saved, okay? 25 years later. And Miller, he had one more friend left, right? He continued. He said, okay, I'm still going to wait. I'm still going to believe God's going to save all my friends, right? All his five friends. So he persevered in prayer until his death for the fifth friend. And throughout those 52 years, he never gave up hoping that this fifth friend will come to know Jesus Christ. And you know what? His faith was rewarded. For soon after Miller's funeral, guess what? This last person was saved. This person came to receive Christ as their Lord and Savior. And you know what? We can keep on trying to make sense of things, and we can, you know, say, Lord, why so long? Lord, why did you bring this? Lord, why? You know, we keep on going, you know, back to the Lord, and we keep asking him, why? And the Lord says, I'm your Father God. Do you trust me, child? And we got to realize when we pray unto God, you know, it's God's timing. God's timing is perfect. Our timing, not so much. You got to understand that God, he knows what he's doing. And he does it out of pure love for you and for me. So we keep on trusting. We keep on looking to God for the one that never disappoints, that never will fail us. Amen? Why don't we go ahead? Let's bow our heads. Let's bow our hearts. Let's come before our Father in heaven. Let's pray. Father God, we just want to thank you, Lord, for the message spoken today. And Father, we know, Lord, that you are our Lord God who never fails. You never disappoint. And Lord God, there are many times in our lives that we try to make sense of things when things don't go the way we want it. We can start to complain. We can start to get more confused. Or we can just simply say, Lord, I don't have to understand the situation I'm going through. All I really can do is just trust in you. And I know, Lord, you will always show me a way out, that you will provide me with what I need so that I can truly have victory. And if this is your heart's cry, you're saying, Lord, forgive me of those times I didn't fully trust in you. Instead of going to you and just experiencing your peace and your strength and your wisdom, I start to handle things on my own way. I try to do things according to my own strength. And a lot of times when we do that, we know we sometimes our situation can only become worse. But Father God, as you hear the cries of our heart, Father, I pray that you will help us. That we know as we call on the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, there is great power. And as we pray to you, Lord God, we know, Lord, you're going to show yourself to be faithful and true. And this is the cry of your heart right now. You're saying, Lord, that is me. Forgive me, Lord, of those times that I didn't fully place my trust in you. And you're saying, Lord, I want to live for you. From this day forward, I want to see to it that as my heart is so connected with yours, I'm going to experience your sweet and loving presence like I've never experienced before. It'll only get better and better and better. If that's your heart's cry right now, can you just raise your hand and say, that's me, so I can pray for you. Praise God. Praise God. Anyone else saying, Lord, that is my heart's cry. I want to live fully devoted to you. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. All right, you can put your hands down. Oh, let's pray. Father God, you've seen all the hands that were raised, but most importantly, it's the hearts, the very hearts behind those hands that are crying out to you, saying, Lord, please help. Please help us, Lord. Because we know, Lord, we can't do it on our own. We need your wisdom. We need your strength. We need your power, Lord, to be displayed in our lives. And I pray, Father, as my brothers and sisters totally tune in to your sweet and loving voice, they will know clearly what you are leading them, guiding them to do. And Father, there'll be no confusion, absolutely no confusion. Because, Lord, when we do things your ways, you only bring greater and greater blessings. So, Father, we love you and we praise you. We honor your most holy name. It's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray all these things. And everyone says, amen. Let's all stand, brothers and sisters.